Torah in Parashat Shemini goes through the different laws of kashrus, the laws of kosher. It gives us the simanim, the signs of a kosher animal. So when it comes to animals, the Torah tells us animals that have split hooves and chew its cud, cows, sheep, goats, those are kosher animals. And when it comes to fish, the Torah tells us if you have fins and scales, you are kosher. What about when it comes to birds? So the Torah is not as clear. The Torah gives us a list of 24 species of birds that are not kosher. And the implication is that all the rest of them, most of the birds are kosher. You've got to find them. These 24 aren't good. The other 24 are good. So the Gemara, the Chazal, the rabbis gave us signs to help us find kosher birds. Because the Torah doesn't, because unless you're a bird specialist, you're not going to know the difference. And the fact that the Torah calls a bird one thing then, 1,000 years later, you could have different names. So the names itself don't help either. Who says it's the same bird? So therefore, the rabbis gave us different characteristics. So one of the main ones of a kosher bird, or if you'd like a non-kosher bird, is one that's a dores, one that tramples, that eats its prey when it's alive, picks up its prey. Different opinions in the Rishonim what defines a dores, but it's someone who eats his victim alive, attacks, either way. And to quote the famous praise from Ben Franklin, because what's the national bird of the U.S.?
The eagle.
The eagle. So Ben Franklin was very upset the eagle was picked, because he wrote a letter to his daughter. He says he wished it was the turkey. He would have picked the turkey, not the eagle. Why? Because the eagle is a very cruel animal. It attacks its prey. And he learned the Ramban on Chumash in this week's Parsha. The Ramban writes that, where do you think people got it from? You are what you eat. That's what the Ramban said years ago. That he used to, today people are talking about from a physical point of view, a workout, you have to have your kale, you have to have your vegetables, because you are what you eat. But the Ramban was talking about from a spiritual point of view, that if you eat animals that are cruel, it's going to affect your midos. You're going to end up, being cruel. So therefore, that's what the Torah gives us. All the different type of the Torah gives us the different type of not the Torah. The Gemara gives us a different type of characteristic traits that tell us between kosher and non-kosher. And then as well, there are certain grasshoppers that are kosher as well. The Torah, in fact, the Rambam, when it comes to the mitzvah of kosher, he writes it's a mitzvah aseh. There's a positive mitzvah. So in addition to the mitzvah of eating kosher and the negative commandment of not eating kosher, the Rambam seems to be saying there's an additional mitzvah. In other words, in addition to the Rambam warns, it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that to learn about the signs, to learn what are the kosher signs, what are the non-kosher signs. But it's a famous story with Rav Chaim Kanetsky, who actually wrote a whole book on grasshoppers. That one time he was struggling, he couldn't figure out something, and the story goes is as he was learning, a grasshopper popped up on his desk, and he got to check out the way it looked, and he was able to finish, and then he sent the grasshopper off. So there is a minig among teimanim, people from about whether you could. They have a tradition that certain grasshoppers are kosher. In fact, locusts. I think that, and the question is. Even today, like there are people who eat grasshoppers. I don't mean people. Well, there are definitely It's very good for protein, apparently. You can make a protein shake, and you can mix it in. I just remember back in the day, Steve McQueen movie, him eating cockroaches in jail. That wasn't much of a turn-on for me. That's as much as grasshoppers are for me. But there are people who actually, it's a big treat. It's a big delicacy. Remember, my delicacy is ribs. You could give someone else the grasshoppers. But there are delicacies around the world that...
And
well, you would prefer cockroaches?
Give somebody else the grasshoppers.
Because the key is the protein. So there is a custom among some Yemenite communities that they eat grasshoppers. And apparently they have a masorah. In other words, because... when it comes, do you need a masorah to eat kosher, or is it enough just to follow the simanim? In other words, if I have the kosher signs, is that enough, or do I need a masorah? So where does having a masorah come from? Did I need a masorah, or do I need a masorah?
Masorah
is a tradition that past generations have been eating this, so we know it's kosher, right?
Well, for animals, you can examine it. For birds, you have to use masorah.
Why, what about the signs the Gemara gave us?
Oh.
But you're on the right track, but you got it. But I need
fish,
more info, huh?
For fish, you just look.
Right,
yeah,
so right, so let's take the easy one, fish. All in agreement that there is no masorah for fish, meaning you don't need a masorah for fish. Of course, you watch, was it Finding Nemo? Yeah. What was that movie? But there are too many, the thousands and thousands of different fish. You can't have a masorah on fish. Basically, for most of them, it's simple fins and scales. You get into certain, like, sturgeons.
Catfish, stuff like that.
Right, the one, the shark, sharkfish.
Swordfish.
You have different ones. The issue. What?
The marlin.
Yeah, the marlin, yeah. The issue is, if it has fins and scales, it's kosher. The question to get into, how do you define what's considered a halachic scale? Like, the Ramban has a chumrah about it. It has to peel off easy without the skin coming off. And there's certain fish that grow its scales later. So that's explicit in the Gemara. That if you know this fish grows fins and scales when they get it, but you want to eat it beforehand, you can eat it. So there are different halachas regarding fins and scales, but there's no masorah per se. That was the whole discussion with the swordfish that they threw in masorah. It's not clear. It's a different type of masorah. It's not a masorah as part of the halacha. You have to know what it... So that was a major debate. A swordfish used to be on the kosher list. On the kosher fish list, you would have found on the kosher list. Until about 1950, a lot of tumuks break out in the 1950s in Israel with the Zebo, which is yesterday's discussion, a certain animal that looks like a cow. It was in Israel, whether you could eat it or not. But in 1950s, what happened was they approached Rav Moshe Tendler. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein's son-in-law. He was one of the few Torah Umadah people. In other words, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's a rabbi, and he knew scientism. He's science. He was involved in cancer and all that, studying for it. So I guess they asked him, the OU went to him and said, make up a list of the kosher, because since he knew Torah and he knew about it. So he said that he's the one who moved swordfish on the non-kosher list. That was the whole debate, and it still is a debate today. But today, no organizations in the U.S. or Canada, and perhaps even Israel now, will give a hashkacha on swordfish. Individuals still might claim it's still good. In other words, apparently Herschel Schechter claims it is good. It's a debate between Rav Moshe Tendler, what Rav Soloveitchik said. Rav Moshe Tendler said he went to the Rav Soloveitchik, and he went to his father-in-law, and they both said it's no good. Rav Schechter says, Rav Soloveitchik says it was good. He went to a professor in Boston, Professor, I think, Sternberg, I'm not sure what his name was. He was a big professor in Harvard in Boston. And Rav Soloveitchik gave him the scales of a swordfish. He said, check him out. He came back and said they fit the criteria of a kosher fish. And he says he still has, if you want to look it up, he has it in his Gemara. and it was a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Chulin, wherever the Gemara talks about it, he has him, he kept the scales, and he showed him that Rav Soloveitchik said were good. That was a major... What?
Rabbi Isaac Klein.
Yeah, he's the conservative rabbi who you're quoting. Okay. No, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just quoting
that before they're adults,
he's saying they're good. You mean
they're okay? As yeah, long no, as that juvenile.
It was that you know that used to be a big conservative orthodox divide. Today there are a lot bigger ones, but the big issue then was swordfish because this is the way Rav Shechter likes to say it. Rav Moshe Tengler is not happy with the way he says it. In fact, so the way Rav Shechter he has a piece in the Jewish press. I don't know if he used to that. One of his talmidim used to write up a piece what he wrote. So 1 week was swordfish. So he basically wrote about this whole issue. Rav Moshe Tengler came around and said it was. He felt, see, Rav Tengler's shita is, it was a mistake. It was the sailfish they used to eat, not the swordfish. It comes down to Metzia, what is the swordfish? But he claims people used to eat this because in Italy they used to talk about the fish that has a sword, but many fish have swords, like the marlin. So he claims it was the wrong fish. And he says through technology, even look, there are no scale. He claims he spoke to scientists and the fishermen. They never found scales on the boat because there weren't any scales. Other claim because they lose their scales when you pull them out of the water. It's a whole debate in terms of what happened. So he claims that the nakosh, it's the sailfish that the Jews used to, never the swordfish. So Rav Shechter disagrees, you know, not on his own. He claims, and then he says, the reason why Rav Moshe Tengler said it was a meta halacha issue. At that point, the conservative and the oil were much closer. There are very few differences. Yes. Perhaps people will say now the conservative are much closer to reform than they are to orthodox. But back at the day, they were closer to orthodox. So therefore, as Henry just quoted, Rav Isaac Klein, he was one of the conservatives, and he came out and said swordfish was kosher, which was the practice, by the way. Well, up until 1950, for everyone, or at least it was on the kosher list. And then, so Rav Shechter claims that Rav Tengler was wrong about saying swordfish wasn't kosher, but he won the war because he said it was a meta, because the conservatives came out and said it was kosher, so he came out and said it wasn't kosher, and therefore they stopped eating it, and it separated they had other victories in other areas, but in terms of the actual swordfish, that was the issue. So therefore, you definitely need that. It's clear. He just had a baby boy. Yeah. So that was a major divide. So in terms of having the fish. So therefore, there was a very heated debate. And I think who's the big zoo guy in Israel? Like the one who does that? He was Slifkin. So Slifkin This Rabbi Ari Zivotofsky, who writes a lot of articles on...
Sabalowski?
Yeah, not Sabalowski. He's a Rebbe in YU. Right. Zivotofsky, he's a professor in Bar-Ilan. He writes on all these exotic animals. He has an exhaustive, 50-page article on it, which I've read a couple of times. There's a lot of info in there. And so he talks about it there. He doesn't paskin lahalacha, but he basically goes over the history behind it. And Slifkin, in fact, he had a big party. I think it was a couple where first you have to find the swordfish. It's like this big, you have to see that it has the fins. So he has the biblical museum. He went ahead and he served swordfish as one of his parties because he claimed he's going with that it still is kosher. So that became in the 1950s. It went off the kosher list, but that's just a major debate in terms of the kashrus. So the bottom line: no kosher agency is going to tell you. In Israel, at one point they were serving it; other times they weren't. So individuals might eat the swordfish, but the people. So it depends. Comes down,
Italy,
Rav Tengler claims they were eating sailfish, not swordfish. But obviously others disagree. So I'm saying that was part of the issue. How do you define scales? And what's considered, you know, if it grows scales while it's younger, it comes off. What about if the scales come off when the fishermen put it on the boat? There are many, many issues in terms of, even though there, by fish, there's no mistora in terms of, because there are too many fish to have a mistora on, but not in the classic mistora, but you have to, so if you check, and it's, so Rav Tamil claims he checked, there are no scales on swordfish, you know, so it seems to be a dispute on what exactly is the swordfish. A lot of fishes have swords, and not just the swordfish. Dag hacherev they talk about in the Gemara. So either way, therefore, by fish per se, you don't necessarily need a misora, but you have all those issues with in terms of the sturgeon. I think it was the king clip in South Africa. There's also a big issue in terms of a certain fish. Rav Chaim Ozer Grzinski, one of the Gadol in Europe, I think his brother or brother-in-law lived in South Africa, so he claims Rav Chaim said this fish was, the fish was good, others claim it's not, but it's the same issue in terms of, it's simple in terms of you need fins and scales, and you have to get into what is the definition of what is halacha consider a scale or not. So all those, the sturgeon, the king clip, the swordfish, all these had issues in terms of, it's based on a Ramban who says that in order to have Ramban talks about having a fish that the scale comes off easily. He says if it doesn't, not everyone agrees to that. And then there's a separate issue, another issue along, does it have to look like a fish? Let's say something has a fins and scales, but any marine animal, like it has eyes and, so that's a separate debate in the Achronim.
It's not that. So it's interesting, though, because like the Hayona, when it talks about when he was, it describes it as a dog, but it's really like a whale of some sort. It was gigantic. For him to live inside it for at least 3 days,
yeah,
big enough to.
Yeah, I'm saying, so that's a separate debate among the Achronim. Is it only a fish? Does it have to look like a fish? And if it has, let's say something that doesn't look like a fish. And in terms of we eat the soul also, it has an indented tail. So that's a whole debate in terms of the fish.